biblical counseling is wrapped around a person, Jesus Christ, that leads us into a relationship with a Father God. So at the heart, usually, of counseling problems is a disconnect. Either someone, do you believe you have people in the church that think they're saved, but they're not? Whoo, it's a mission field. So it really is. I got an email one time from a doctor in our church, and he's super smart, and I get it. You know how sometimes people only want to hear one thing taught once, and they're like, I got it, move on. He wrote me an email one time, said, why do you go on and on and on and on about grace? We get it. I was like, Dick, everyone doesn't get it. They really, and by the way, I was in the book of Romans and it was on grace. Dude, I'm supposed to preach what the text says. I know you already got it, you little arrogant thing, but you know, I didn't say that in my email. I was like, consider others, Dick, who don't have. And when you really get it, I'm sorry, isn't it sweet to hear it again? I mean, who says to the worship leader, why do we sing Amazing Grace? I got it. Because when you've really got it, you don't get over it. You don't get over it. But the people we're counseling, in some cases, A, don't get it. B, this is part of what they're struggling with, they've gotten over it. Without realizing it, can life come at you and you just get sucked into so many other secondary things that feel very real? One of the things I'm most convinced of, our enemy loves to shrink our world down to our latest problem. And just like cellophane, just wrap you in it and you can't breathe. And so as a counselor, we have opportunities to do things like what I hope to talk about. Lead people back to the goodness of God. He's good. So I'm not trying to help people just say no to something. You can't say no if you don't have a sweeter, better, more satisfying yes. You realize that? So I want them to get more of a yes for what they have in Jesus Christ and this relationship with the Father God. So I want to cultivate some of that with them. So let's dig into that a little bit. I'm going to walk you through what I hope will be some ways that we can lead our counselees to the goodness of God. Starting with this, number one, I think one of the ways that I can do this, and I had to learn this, by God's grace, I've been counseling over 30 years now, and I think I'm going to come back this afternoon. Yeah, I think I do. I'm going to do a workshop called Things I've Sharpened or Changed. Oh my goodness. I just sat down and thought, what have I actually sharpened and changed after 30 years of counseling? Well, here's one of them right here today. I'm just taking longer. And not because we have so many counselors now. We have a waiting list. We always have a waiting list. But guess what? I'm just not going to hurry. You do not lead people to the goodness of God. You do not help them taste the sweetness of it in a hurry. So I'm just taking more time to gather data and walk with them through their PDIs. I used to feel this urgency, get through it in one session at least, because there's so much I need to tell them and help them with and get busy doing. If you don't connect well with them and they're not convinced you've heard where they are, it still happens to me. They'll be halfway into their story and I think, got it. You don't need to give me all the details. And now I don't push back anymore. I listen well. We live in a fast-paced society. Very few people listen well to others. I know we're that model of counseling that is directive and we have things to say. So it's not just that we listen and reflect back. I hear you saying you're angry. Yes, I said that. There's a time to tell them something from God's word, but not until they're convinced you've really, because for them, this is the biggest thing going on in their life. It doesn't matter that you've heard something similar before, that you have some ideas. I give them the dignity and, by the way, love of listening well. Take a little longer to gather data. Because you can invest time. Here's what I've learned. You can invest time, extra time up front, and end up stopping and doing it later. If you listen well and connect with them initially, the process will go much better. I know you're track 4, so in a sense, we're revisiting those basic elements of counseling. Build what? Involvement. Doesn't mean I have to camp with them. Doesn't mean we have to share vacations. But there's something to that. If you don't build involvement and you don't connect with them, as far as body language, what I'm really looking for, like I've got a guy now that I started off with, and he's just, they don't want to make eye contact with you. You can tell they're very ill at ease. I'm looking for, I can tell this person has begun to relax because they trust me and they really believe I'm for them. I'm for them. Until I have that, there's things that you're going to say that are just going to bounce off them like dink, dink, dink. And so it's worth it. You can either do it up front or you're going to end up having to go back around and do it later. Number two, do whatever it takes to get your own heart as right as possible. I hope I'm not the only sinner in the room, but there are people, as I listen to them, right? I'm just like, whoo, the more I'm around you, I know why she doesn't like you. I don't like you at all. I'm for her and against you. I can't say that out loud, right? But I do know this, I have to say to myself, and then to my God, God, change my heart. Change my heart. I had one recently. He just put me off. One of my people that I'm just so easily put off by is hyper-spirituality and self-righteousness, and they know tons, but they're a terrible husband or a terrible, he just made me say, just shut up. Don't use that either. But I was just like, ugh. You don't have the right, you know, it's always like, well, we're not walking in the Spirit, and we're just not in the Word, and we're just like, it's just, ugh. And I could tell she was put off, too. It was one of those situations where she's been living with him, and this was one of those, how long has it been bad? How long have we been married? You know how some guys are just full of knowledge, and they're just always nanking their wife, and, well, that was the term we used to use. I don't know if you guys ever said that. Back when nank was nank, it was like, because we had... In our church, sometimes someone would say, don't nank me. And what we meant was, you're too soon, you're swooping in with Bible verses saying, you should, here's what the Bible says. And I'm not sure you even love me or know me. And I could tell he had related to her like this for a long time. And I was like, But God's Spirit convicted me. He said, Brad, no. You must love this man. Love him. Now, I don't know what you do in those situations. I get on my knees and I just say, God, change my heart. And he will. I haven't had him fail me yet. Like, sometimes I have someone in my small group. We have groups. There'll be someone in my group like, oh, you're ruining our whole group. If it weren't for you, you're driving me crazy. You're just talking nonstop about something unrelated to what we're talking about. You know how you'll have someone that just wants to update you on their life? It's like, we're discussing the sermon. I just asked a question related to the sermon drawing you out. That has nothing to do with it. Throw a flag on the field. Penalty. Stop. 15 yards. Scoot your chair back out of the circle until you get it. We're talking about point number two on the sermon and how to apply it to our life. You're right. And again... I learned the hard way earlier in my ministry. I used to try to pray him out of my group. God, take him out. Take him out. And then, guess what? He'll just bring someone else. Just like, because he wants to work on me. He wants to teach me to love. I remember the last one I have. I can still see her right now, seated to my right. And I was like, oh, you're doing it again, girl. And I started praying. I said, God, give me love. Help me to love. And the next week, she started doing it. She hadn't changed at all. In fact, she never changed. But I felt it right here, just a little bit of love. Just kind of bubbling right there. It was small, but it was there. It was like, I thought to myself, I think I love her. Not in the wrong kind of way. And I just leaned in and looked at everything she was saying that had nothing to do with what we were talking about. And I found myself thinking, I don't know what she's been through. I don't know what she's going through now. She's a person, and she needs our group. And he just changed my heart. He changed my heart, I push for people to get in group because I don't want a big church to just be anonymous. And so I love to say, like, you got to get in a group. Come on, from the pulpit. And sometimes the reason people don't want to be in a group is stuff like that. And I said, now I know what you're thinking. There might be someone there that's not your cup of tea that you would never have chosen for a friend. But right now, think if you're in a group. And if you're thinking, I can't think of anybody like that. It's you. Because every group gets one. Because God is not just, right? You're in track four, so you know God is not just about information. Do you know one of the most important things is, do you know how to love people? Is that a big deal? yes. The more I read my Bible, which is every year,